the whole novel is through this sort of glass perspective that we know. That
it certainly did seem to inspire them. On a path by a river in the east of Cornwall, a group of people have gone for a stroll to take in the fresh air, to stretch their legs a bit, but above all, to talk about a book. In this case, it's L.P. Hartley's 1952 novel, The Go-Between.
It brings back all the awkwardness of being a child on the cusp of adulthood, and it's brilliant.
When I started, I thought the kind of coming-of-age narrative, it did start to kind of resonate with one's own childhood.
Traditional book clubs, it seems, are now old hat. It's no longer enough to sit round in someone's flat over a bottle of Chardonnay. Instead, this weekend's Port Elliot Festival is promoting the Walking Book Club, with a group of readers setting off into the countryside.
I think when you walk, your thoughts flow much more freely. There's a sort of opportunity to talk more seriously, maybe more deeply. You can have a new sort of intimacy with someone that you maybe wouldn't have around a table.
There's something about the way you don't have eye contact with people that makes you feel you can talk more freely. And also the rhythm of the walking, it kind of just allows you to talk slightly more contemplatively. Yeah, I mean, it's the first walking book group I've been to, but I found it a very good way to talk about books.
What did everyone think of Leo as a boy? Did you like him?
It was Emily Rhodes who came up with the idea of walking book clubs. She works in a bookshop in North London and says she heard lots of horror stories from people who had joined book clubs but weren't really enjoying the experience.
A lot of them say, oh God, it's really scary. I've got to put my hand up in order to say something, so you get told off for interrupting. They get intimidated by the thought of some people being far more intelligent than them and slightly domineering the club.
So why do you get round all these problems if people walk and talk about a book rather than just talking about it, I don't know, sitting around a table drinking a glass of wine?
I think there's a very strong link between wandering to walk and wandering in your head, and it's easier to get the words out somehow.
There is a historical precedent. Back in the 1880s, the biographical dictionary compiler Leslie Stephen organised what he called the Sunday Tramp. Once a fortnight, he would gather together men of learning, and it was only men, and they would set off for a hike to discuss important matters of the day. Then, through the early 20th century, groups of Oxford undergraduates used to go to stay at a hut in the Alps, once again to walk and talk. Among them was the future politician Harold Nicholson, and his granddaughter, the writer Juliet Nicholson, is speaking at the Port Elliot Festival this weekend. She says that walking has often played an important role in her life.
Walks are wonderfully, potentially revealing, romantic, bonding, moving. I was proposed to on a walk down in the Sussex Downs.
Did you say yes?
I did. Tried not to fall off the cliff. I was going to say I lost my virginity on a walk, but I didn't quite. Close.
While walking?
During a rest stop, I think.
These are the classic cumulus clouds we've got above us right now. They're the fair weather cloud.
Gavin Preter-Penny has his own particular angle on walking. He's the founder of the Cloud Appreciation Society, and so tends to have his eyes gazing upwards when he goes out for a hike. This, of course, has its dangers, a danger he thinks that walking book clubs should also be aware of.
You're walking along, you're gazing down at your text. You might not be concentrating on where you're walking. There are tree trunks in the way. You know, little dips in the path. You could stumble. You've got to watch out for these things.
But what about the idea that ideas flow better when you're walking? Thoughts go further. Conversations are more intimate. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I do. I definitely buy that, because I think when you're walking along, well, firstly, you're not looking into each other's eyes, all right? That can be an advantage in terms of the sort of intimacy of the group.
Don't you think it's more intimate to look into each other's eyes across a table, for example?
Well, that's what you would think, isn't it? Yeah, but actually, I think you put defences up a little bit when you're staring into each other's eyes. They probably wouldn't be there if you're all walking along together.
Back at today's Walking Book Club session, things didn't go entirely according to plan.
We have now hit a bit of a problem for anyone organising a walking book club in Britain. It's raining. Does that put people off? Anyone want to stop, or do you really want to carry on getting drenched and talking about this book?
I want to carry on.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. It's excellent.
Anyone who loves walking knows that walking in the rain is just one part of enjoying walking. Yeah.
And we are getting very wet, though.
Nothing wrong with that. If you come prepared, you know, mentally and physically, it's absolutely fine.
I think it only makes people more willing to talk and think because you're out in the open. I'm fine with it.